Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy.
Welcome to Table Talk. Madison and I are here at the table to talk again about our journey through the Word of God and the one-year Bible plan that we have made a goal of reading through this year. So,
yeah.
Thanks for being at my table again, Madison.
Thanks for having me.
And I'm going to start off with just asking you a question that I hope the listeners have been in the process of answering or are still in the process of answering, and that's okay. It doesn't matter what your answer is or if you haven't really ironed out your answer, just keep in the pursuit of thinking about it and doing it is half of the battle. So would you transparently tell us when you are trying to be in the Word with God?
So transparently, my goal is to get up in the mornings, but that is not where I have been because I'm still building a habit and life is not perfect and I have a four-year-old child. So at the moment, for me to make sure I am intentional, I am reading at night, right before I go to bed after Mickey is already asleep, and I can have quiet time with just me and God, and I'm not stressed with him or work or anything. So at the moment, that is where I have been reading and studying, at night.
Totally understand that scenario. Mm-hmm. There was a season in my life where that was my only time available in my day as well.
Yeah.
So my when at the moment in this season of life is in the morning. So let's now talk about how we're doing it. Will you share with us a little bit about really how you are taking the steps? Is it electronic, you know, digital? Is it with a pen and a paper?
Yeah, I have a couple different things that I'm doing. So I'm going through the one-year Bible plan on the Bible app, and I read it just on the app. I'm trying to challenge myself and intentionally read it. And then when I feel like I have time or I want to, or I'm just, you know, excited, I'm also verse mapping a verse that I just like and I thought would be fun to a verse map. So I'm very slowly verse mapping the verses in Lamentations 3:22 through 26. And so I'm just going through that just as I feel little minutes after the 1 year. And then my husband and I have started the year and are doing kind of a plan, just me and him together. So I also do that. And that, so I just chunk it all at night when I'm doing those. A couple of days on the weekends, I might get up in the morning and do them. And I think I read some verses during my lunch break this week, but most of my true study intentional time has been at night.
Now, when you say you're reading it, are you, just for the listeners to know there's different options, mm-hmm. are you looking at your app and reading it from the app? Do you have a Bible or are you listening to it being read to you?
I'm reading it off of my phone.
Okay.
And then really I started out just reading it, and then I did get my notebook and I just put the verse that I feel like God is either showing me something new, or I've learned something or made a connection that is new. So there's lots of things that hit me hard, and there's lots of really cool things that happen, But this year, I'm just focusing on if I've learned something new, I'm going to write it down. So I've written just, I'll just write the verse and just either what he taught me or what I learned through the Bible. So that's just what I've been doing, just writing new information down, because I have read the Bible a couple of times before. So some of these stories seem normal. And just being in church and stuff, they're like, oh, I've read this before. And it's easy to just be like, ah, I've read about Noah's Ark before. I'm just going to kind of skim through. But trying to be really intentional, read it, and try to glean new information, make new connections. So I've been trying to find a way to write that down. I think I'll probably make more notes as I'm more comfortable and have felt my kind of process develop. But that's just kind of what I'm doing. And then I do use the verse mapping for some other notes if I feel like something in the one-year Bible plan has connected to what I'm learning about peace or new mercy or something like that in what I'm doing there. And then, so.
Because what we want to remind you of, as Madison just alluded to, is the purpose for meeting with God in the Word is to see how He is revealing His truth to you. And there's no right way to receive that, because He's the one that prompts to draw us into His Word and reveal His truth. It's not something we can fabricate.
Yeah.
So we again offer you to begin before you even crack the book open or your app, to literally pray a type of a prayer that is like, Dear Heavenly Father, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal your truths to me. Because our intentionality is looking for, I refer to it as almost like it leaps off the page to me. And I truly am trying to articulate the fact that, like Madison says, that words are words on a page. But when the Holy Spirit is trying to like bring it to my attention and draw me near to it, I get a different perception of those words from the page. It's not like I didn't choose them. It's like he's saying, Paulette, and I'm like, oh, okay. Sometimes I don't even know why those words or why that verse.
Yeah.
Because if I'm seeking out verses, sometimes I go to like those refrigerator magnet kind.
Yeah.
That, you know, like you can do all things.
Worthy to be highlighted.
Yeah, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Not that that's not a good verse. I'm not trying to be sarcastic or make light of that. But sometimes what I go for and what he brings to me are two totally different things.
Right.
And it usually makes me have to search deeper into it, more layers behind it. So that's why Madison and I refer to like the verse mapping. It's when, okay, wow, this has stopped us and pulled us in. His truths are pursuing us to know something more about his character. And in that ability to know more about his character, he's asking us to surrender, and he's challenging us to change ours to look more like him. So I'm the same way. I have a spiral bound lined notebook that I am using for my, as Madison referred to, if you didn't listen to last Monday, so go back and listen to it, the sprint. I am reading the 1 year Bible app, and as I sprint through the day, I am annotating the things that I believe are truths revealed to me for this season for his reasons. But then I am still verse mapping a truth from the Word, Matthew 2:13, that I know I'm going to sit in, and nowhere near close to being done with this. And it could be more than a month this time since I am sprinting as I marathon, as Madison referred to. And we're not going to stop and explain that again. Literally, go back and listen to last Monday's, where she so eloquently alluded to a sprint and a marathon in the Word of God. That was really eye-opening to me. And what's interesting is I even had a lady text me about, okay, I know my when, I know my how, and I figured out the sprint and the marathon angle for me. And I'm like, wow, we're referring to it in that terminology because it just made so much sense.
Yeah.
So, okay, so we've talked about the when. I guess we both talked about our where. Mine's at home. Yours is at home.
Yeah, and at home.
You said work or lunch once. Yeah. And then we know our how. We're both using an app to guide us. We're both using an annotated notebook of some sort for logging, journaling our journey. And then I am always going to read out of it through my ESV study Bible. I do read it on the app some days. In fact, I tried to say, what if I was back in the workplace and commuting and I'm just doing the app? And there's nothing wrong with that. But there's just something for me about opening the Word of God where I can highlight and I can journal on the sides because I have the journaling Bible. So I'm always going to go to the actual book. But there were a few days where I'm like, nope, I'm going to see if I can just be app driven, thinking back of in my life when I was in a season where I couldn't have been with a Bible necessarily because maybe I was commuting or at work already or still getting ready or still getting the kids ready. So I hope you hear us that there's no right way. There is the way that you can experience a relationship with God more this year through His Word, period. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about when, where, how, and that was our why. Our why is that this year we have made a goal to experience more of God through the daily, that's our goal, daily reading of His Word. But there are going to be opportunities for that not to get met that day. So a day may come and you may not get your time in with Him. Mm-hmm. Still get your prayer time in. I will always tell you that. Still pray and then get back to it the next day. Mm-hmm. So you miss one, but you don't want to make it 2, 3, 4, 5. And we challenge you to find an accountability partner, period. Madison referred to her and Grady are doing something together. Okay. Your accountability partner could be your spouse. Your accountability partner could be a friend, a sister, a neighbor, someone at church, someone at the workplace, someone that's going to just say, how you doing? Mm-hmm. How are you doing with the Word of God? Share a truth you've read from the Word of God. How are you seeking to apply that truth? Just someone to hold you accountable. And if your church has life groups or small groups or Bible studies, get involved in something. And you might think, well, that's not what our church's Bible study or life group's doing. You can still ask those questions in a community of like-minded believers. Yeah. You can get there and say, hey, what's a truth you've come across in the Word of God lately? And if they look at you like you have three heads, then that's an opportunity to invite them to this journey reading God's Word.
Something that I've been taught in the past to, you know, sometimes you go to like a lunch date and you're like meeting with a friend, you know they're a Christian, but you're not really deep in your relationship talking about like where you are, you know, that friend. Just to invite conversation, you can always just say like, you know, hey, how's it going, blah blah blah, and then you can say like, hey, what have you been reading lately? Mm-hmm. And obviously you're referring to the Bible or a devotional or something, like what have you been reading lately, and then how has that been speaking to you? Mm-hmm. Which is this mm-hmm. question that you're asking, is, you know, what truths are you getting? But it might be easier to say like, what are you reading? And then if they say I'm not,
yeah,
then you, it's not like a guilt, like, oh, he's not speaking to you through that.
Yes,
So if you don't have someone yet, but you want someone, take them out for lunch, give them a phone call or whatever, and just say like, hey, are you reading something? Because I'm reading something and I want us to be deeper friends, accountability partners. And if they're like, yeah, let's do it, you can start something, or maybe they're going to start after you. But that's always a good thing to ask. Just, what are you reading? How is it speaking to you? Or another question, you know, what truths are you, do you have from the Word of God or the Bible?
And it doesn't have to even be someone local. Like I mentioned, coworkers, friends, spouse, neighbors. But I am reconnecting and reengaging with my sister and my niece who live in Tennessee. Shout out to Pam and Jelena. And I think Jelena said they've got Janelle, my other niece, in on it too. But they are beginning their own accountability group, my sister and her two daughters, and they are walking this out with each other, but they live in Tennessee. So you know what we're doing. we're using Marco Polo. So I've Marco Polo'd a few times already with Jelena, texted with Pam. And then Maddie was over here actually at my house to pick up Mickey. Mm-hmm. And she jumped on and we said hi to Jelena. So it is not an excuse mm-hmm. that your accountability partner doesn't live here.
That's right.
Your accountability partner lives wherever technology lives, and that's anywhere and everywhere. So check out free version Marco Polo, and it's like you're in the same room with them, and you can record a little video, and then they watch it whenever they want to watch it. It doesn't have to be live watched, and then you watch it and respond. If you've never heard of it, check it out. All right, we're going to get to kind of the meat and potatoes of today, whereas we are going to just transparently and vulnerably invite you into the table at Maddie and I's conversation, like we are offering you to find someone to conversate about God's word with. So I'll just open it up with, Madison, would you like to share a truth you've read lately in the word of God?
Sure. I got some very interesting things reading. So I have been able to read every day. And
that's huge.
I have not taken notes every day because I just haven't felt like every day something has jumped out at me. But as I was looking yesterday night and I was looking back over the week, because I think I'm going to try like Saturday or Sunday to look back over my week and just feel like if there's any big picture things that jump out, right? So I was looking and some weird things I have written down, but I'm just going to share because that's what he kind of spoke to me.
That's why I offer you guys to jot and journal down your journey, because as you back up over time, you're going to get a different perspective like Madison's about to demonstrate and share with us.
Yeah, so one thing that jumped out at me was in Genesis 12, 10 through 20, Abraham is traveling with his wife, half-sister, and he's lying to the Pharaoh about his relationship with Sarai, however you want to pronounce it. And God protects Pharaoh by giving plagues and warnings. And Pharaoh, who is not Jewish, almost believes more in God than Abram at that point, and is like, why would you do this to me? You've brought this, like, and protects Sarah and Pharaoh from having that relationship. So then again, days later, I write down again in Genesis 20, Abraham lies to Abimelech about Sarah. This is after God has changed their names. And so this is kind of like a before and after. He's still making the same mistakes. This is still happening to him. And God protects Abimelech and warns him through a dream. Again, non-Jewish person that God saves and saves Sarah through this. And I just thought that was cool. Then fast forward. And so our 1 year Bible has some from Genesis, the Old Testament. It has some from Psalms and Proverbs. And then it also has some from the New Testament. So then jumping way forward into Matthew, when the wise men come to visit Jesus, they had told Herod about it, and Herod said, go, but then come back and tell me where, you know, the child is. Of course, Herod wants to kill him. And the wise men, they're not Jewish or of the faith, but they've read a lot about the Bible. And to protect Jesus, God sends them a dream and warns them and protects them. And then right after that, Joseph receives a dream to flee from Herod to protect Jesus as well. So I was looking back, and then I think it was yesterday, it talked about Isaac making the same mistake and lying. And I had to go off on a tangent on that because it's Isaac lying to Abimelech again, but this is a different Abimelech, because Abimelech is just like Pharaoh. Pharaoh, we know, is king of Egypt. Abimelech is just the king of that nation or territory. So, fun fact. But he does the exact same thing his dad did in the same nation, and they're like, whoa, why are you doing this? But God is protecting all of these people. But what jumped out, I thought that was really interesting. All these people, kind of, some of them are making bad mistakes. Some of them are just following. But in each of the situation, God is speaking. Mm. And so when I look back through my week, everything that I wrote down, almost everything, was about how God spoke. Mm. He spoke to non-believers. He spoke to believers. He spoke. He gave warnings and plagues, which we would say, that's terrible. Sending all these plagues would be terrible, but he spoke through them. That was a wake-up call for Pharaoh to stop what he was doing, look around, and say, what changed? Oh, Sarah, kick her off the block, you know? And then he gave dreams. He gave dreams to Abimelech and the wise men and Joseph. And so we know that God spoke and created the universe. And we know that he, you know, sends angels and like to talk to Abraham about how he was going to have nations and stuff. People came and they had that conversation and say whatever, if that was Jesus, pre-Jesus, or an angel of the Lord, whoever it was. But I just noticed how God was speaking and in very different ways. And in all of the ones that I wrote down, it was to warn, to protect. Mm. He loves these people so much. Even the non-believers, he wanted to protect them. And he wanted to kind of fulfill his promise and covenant through sinful people. And so I just thought that was so cool. And so then side story, I could wait. Should I wait for the second question?
Oh, about how we're seeking to apply
it? Yes.
Yeah, maybe so.
Okay.
Maybe so.
So I'm going to wait on the second question. But yeah, so my main thing for this week, or however many days we've been doing this, is that God speaks in many different ways. Mm-hmm. And amen. So that's just kind of was jumping in my face. And
amen.
Yeah.
And if there is a listener right now that's thinking to themselves, I can't remember the last time God spoke to me. Here's a question, Maddie, and I want to offer and challenge you with. When's the last time you consistently were in God's word? Mm-hmm. Because that's how he speaks to us. Mm-hmm. He speaks to us through his word.
Yeah.
Because it's living, breathing, active. That's why we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal his truth to us. So if you are honest and honestly, transparently thinking right now, I wish God spoke to me like that. That's why we're offering you to take this journey with us and to journal. Write down the things you don't even know why you're writing them down.
Right.
And then seriously ask for his perspective when you recall and look back at it. That's amazing. Okay, don't forget what she just shared, because she's going to come back and tell us how she's seeking to apply that in just a second. So I'm going to share with you my overarching, and today was day 11 for us. So in 11 days, the overarching thing I keep seeing jump and leap off the page to me is about bold faith, and that peace is a promise to us. Peace is a promise to us. And so I'm going to just share a couple verses that, like Madison, have come through with my reading. The most recent one was from day 10, and it was from Proverbs. It was Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. Do not forget my teaching, Allah his word, but let your heart keep my commandments. Allah, we have to read his word to know his commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. So I thought, wow, if anybody wants to know how to find peace, he just told us. Mm-hmm. And then I went and I found, let me find it, Matthew 8, 1 through 17. And let me read it for you. This is the story of the faith of a centurion. And so when Jesus enters Capernaum, a centurion comes forward to him, appealing to him, and it says, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." Mm-hmm. And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." That's what Jesus says. But the centurion replies, "Oh, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. Only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to them, go, and they go. And I say, come, and they come." I'm paraphrasing a little.
Yeah.
And so Jesus is marveled by this man. And he says, "Truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith." And so then if you skip down to 13, he says, "And to the centurion, Jesus said, go, let it be done for you as you have believed." So the two things that just has been constantly resonating with me is God promises us peace. Yeah. No one, myself, this world, no one has to be plagued with anxiety. We have the promise of peace if we just do what it says to get it. And then do we have, the question I wrote down for myself is, how am I finding peace? ? And how am I boldly believing? And what am I boldly believing for?
Yeah. Okay. I love that story. When I read it again, I guess I'd forgotten that story and how I think it's so cool that it was a Roman.
Yes.
So it was someone who probably didn't have the upbringing of all the Old Testament information and stuff like that.
But you see where he got, you know, that's why I love word pictures. I love analogies. I love the allegory of it. You see what that centurion understood, that I command people.
Right.
I have authority over people. So if I tell them go, they're going to go because they have blind faith in me as their commander. And if I say to them, come, they'll come. And I mean, Maddie and I understand that with teaching. I mean, my goodness, we're giving command or authority over a select few number of children, and we have to be able to walk them safely from our room to lunch or to PE or recess. We should be able to say, line up, and they line up. So then I think, so he so understood, if someone has faith and respect and almost fear for the authority of someone over them, then all they have to do is give the direct command and it will be done.
Yeah.
So he believed that wholeheartedly that Jesus could do the same thing.
Right.
When I had to that's why I had to stop and ask myself, how am I boldly believing and what am I boldly believing for?
Right.
Because now I'm starting to get into, I'm jumping ahead to how am I applying it? Okay.
Yeah.
So I will stop there and we'll send it back over to Madison about Madison. So how are you applying that God speaks in many ways and how he spoke in the word?
Yeah, so we were doing kind of a peace study recently about just using some different resources and really studying peace and this idea of experiencing God and getting through your anxieties and worries and stuff. So having that kind of as a background, going into January, I have tried to be positive and be looking for good and looking for where is God working, how is he speaking, kind of already.
Mm-hmm.
And so then looking through these stories, I think it was experiencing God that said, if you're reading this Bible and you don't believe everything in it, then you really need to question yourself, do you have faith? And if God is the same God as in the Bible, then he can do anything in the Bible. He can do anything now.
Amen.
And so if he is speaking in all of these ways, he can speak however he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really believe that, are you aware of it? And are you trying to listen? And in one of the Advent studies, it was talking about peace is a pace. And you have to physically slow down and be calm. And when you're trying to listen, you can't be stressed out running to the max, schedule, 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 schedule. You have to sit and listen. And if you don't make that space and time, you're not going to hear him. And so I've really tried to make space and time and listen. And then another thing, we heard a story about a man whose life was used in incredible ways because he had insomnia. And he found it as a burden at one point, but it ended up being a good thing because he was able to stay up at night when his friends were having big struggles. And so I was thinking about that and just have been open, trying to see God working, hear God. And I'll tell you, this is silly, but I think it's amazing. January 9th was the day that some people got out of school for weather. Well, we didn't. And we didn't know that at the time, but I was waiting the call that never came. But that night, I'll preface this. I'm a great sleeper. I go to sleep through the night, wake up in the morning. I'm a great sleeper. And that night, I was just tossing and turning and tossing and turning. And so instead of being upset or mad or frustrated that I can't go to sleep, I was like, okay, I've been reading the Bible. I've been finding ways that God speaks. Let's listen. So I'm listening. Well, I'm not hearing anything. Nothing's coming. Nothing's coming in my brain. I'm like, I don't know what's happening. So I'm like, okay, maybe I should like read something. Maybe I'll pray. So I was like, okay, I'm just praying over three people. Is anyone coming to my mind? No. I'm like, okay, I don't really know what's going on. So I'm like, I'll just try to go back to sleep. And I can't. So I like get up, go to the bathroom. Like, this is odd. So I'm like, God, I don't really know what's going on. So I get back into bed and I'm like, you know, if there's something that I need to hear, I'm not hearing it. So I'm going to sit here and I'm listening and nothing's coming. I'm like, this is kind of feeling silly, but I'm trusting that you woke me up for a reason because I'm a good sleeper. So I'm trying to remind him like what's happening. And all of a sudden my phone, because normally I put my phone up, it's a distraction. So like, I don't want to get that out in the middle of the night. You know, it's not good to look at your phone before bed. So I try to keep that away from me. And my phone like buzzes. And I'm like, oh, that doesn't seem good. Like I shouldn't really, I'm like trying to pray and hear from God. But I go ahead and turn it over. It's literally junk mail. But when I did that, I remembered I didn't have my alarm set for the next day. And I know that sounds silly, but I am not forgetful and I am not late for work. I am very organized, ready. And now that I've been leading this prayer group, I can't be late. Like I want to be there and I want to pray with my ladies, well, and men. And I want to encourage my peers at school. And so I went right back to sleep and I got up the next morning, went to school. We had an amazing prayer session. We had some people confess some things on their heart, had some tears. And I just know, I was like, he woke me up because he knew I would not make it to school if I didn't turn my alarm on. And I wasn't even listening. So he literally had to put some junk mail on my phone so I could recognize that. And that sounds silly.
No.
But I know
that
happened.
Yeah.
And I feel like if my heart wasn't in the right place and I wasn't giving him quiet time and I wasn't reading the Bible, I would have been late. I would have been frustrated and I would have been tossing and turning all night, trying to go to bed and just not, instead of like being positive about it. And I woke up refreshed the next day and I don't know. So,
and the ladies and that one man wouldn't have had the opportunity that morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to give him time and space. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure I will, like, you know, something like that might not happen all the time. It doesn't need to happen, but I want to give him time and space so I am on his same wavelength, mm-hmm. so he can say things to me and I can hear them. I can feel them, you know, and understand what he's trying to say. So yeah, that's what I'm trying to apply. Yeah, and
that's amazing.
It was a cool thing that I was like, man, that is literally the week that I'm saying how God speaks and he spoke to me. I truly feel that.
And what Madison referred to, I'm going to start on our midweek motivations, taking you through some of the resources that there were 12, then counting me, that makes 13. There were 13 of us that went through an 8-week intensive on peace in preparation before this spring new life group launch with Women's Ministry at NLC. And so I want those of you that weren't able to be a part of that, here's some of those resources. So I will mention when she said peace is a pace, that is from Practicing the Way, Advent study on peace and meditations. And so I'll hit that. And then she mentioned Experiencing God, which you've heard on here before, referred to by Henry Blackaby and his son Richard and now his grandson. And God is always at work around you, and God speaks to us through his word are two of the 7 principles of that. So I'll offer some of that to you. Just because I think first and foremost, we always have to anchor ourselves in the truth of God's word, period. But then there are other great and valuable supplemental resources out there that help us, maybe just the phraseology of it or the questions it offers us to implore. And so one of them, like I said, if you haven't heard God speak to you lately, I would ask you to ask yourself, how consistently have you been in his word lately? Mm-hmm. Because he's going to speak to us through his word. And then what Madison was alluding to about, like, if we just run our life, we don't maybe think he's evident right. in our lives. So we miss him. And we're mm-hmm. like, well, God's not doing anything with me. God's not doing big works with me. And it's like, well, why don't you stop for a minute then and just recognize where he is at work? Mm-hmm. If you can't see it personally, recognize where is he at work? And then that just helps open us up to where the Spirit is saying, Paulette, he is at work here. He's either offering you to join him at work, or he's really been trying to, you know, knock down the door to your heart or your mind or your actions. You just closed him off.
Right.
He's never going to change or leave us. It's how open and available are you? So I love that, Madison. That was so practical. And you know, I know it was him.
Right.
Because I see it as Satan always wants to make us trip up. So those people that were looking for you to be there would have been somewhat let down by you not being there on time. And God's like, no, the glory and the victory and what you're doing in pursuit of me, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And here's how it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. I'm going to share my application to my piece for myself is I'm going to continue to read and study and obey and memorize and seek and pursue his word and the truth of his word. Hello. That's why this is not just a bandwagon or a train for Paulette and Madison. This is for everybody. Psalm 34:14, turn away from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. Proverbs 12:20, those who plan peace have joy. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace, for it is trusting in you. So my goal for myself is when I just see myself tiptoeing toward worry, mm-hmm. doubt, anxiety, anything that is captivating my mind more than God's word.
Yeah.
When I see myself tiptoeing down the wrong way, I'm going to just call it out for what it is and remind myself of where I need to be. I need to be dependent on his word. I need to keep his truths. I need to not forget his teachings. I need to turn away from anything that is not like-minded of him. I need to plan for peace and joy will come. So that's one thing I'm doing. And then from the Matthew 8:1-17, when I said, how are you boldly believing, Paulette? Mm-hmm. And what are you boldly believing in? I literally claimed four things, and I'm not going to share them out loud, but I claimed four things that I am boldly believing in, period. I didn't give him a deadline. I'm going to say this year or this 6 months. No way. We can't do that with God. And his yes may be a no.
Right.
His yes may be a yes. His yes may be 5 years from now. His yes may be 15 years from now. His yes may be tomorrow. But I am boldly believing in four distinct things that I am saying, God, you can command this.
Right.
You can say go and this will happen, but you may choose not to. Mm-hmm. But I have the bold faith of the centurion, and I am believing that if it is your will, it will happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't dictate when.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it's going to. I am believing he will if it aligns with his will.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
For his kingdom work. And here's the thing. Not any of these four things directly apply to me. It's others that he brought to mind that I'm like, okay. Because when I went back and reread that about the centurion.
Yeah, it wasn't about him.
He wasn't asking for himself.
That's good.
He was saying, I have a friend.
Yeah.
So, and if at some point it needs to be said, I'll say who, what, why, and wow. But anyway, we want to end this episode with, we hope you know your when. You're meeting with God,
mm-hmm.
how you're meeting with him,
mm-hmm.
where you're meeting with him, what you need to meet with him.
Yeah.
We hope you know the why you're meeting with him. And then just do what Maddie and I are doing. Jot things down that the Spirit leaps off the page for you,
mm-hmm.
that it's like, Madison, this is for you. Paula, this is for you. You insert your name. This is for you. Even if you're like, I don't know why that's for me. You don't have to know why.
Right.
This is God and he's speaking to you. And then once you see, wow, I think I see over a week's time or 2 weeks' time what he's saying to me, then how are you seeking to apply it?
Right.
That's all this
one is. One thing that, I can't remember who said it, but they were saying if God gives you something,
yes.
he's not going to release you from
yes.
that until you've done it.
Absolutely.
And if you can't read the Bible and then be obedient to what yes. he is saying to you,
yes.
why are you doing it?
Yes.
What are you doing? You know, I mean, so
our
when
pastor
God,
Seth always says that if you don't feel like he's called you to anything now, go back to the last thing he did call
right.
you to do and see if you did that one.
Yeah. So I think this is kind of in micro. Day by day, week by week, how is he speaking?
Oh,
how are
good.
You applying that? And is he through with you? Like, I don't know if next week, is this going to be the same thing I'm hearing
that's
and
good.
I'm continuing on my journey? Or is he going to give me something new that I need to do with new information, right? So let's listen for him. Let's learn about him. And then let's do what he's asking us to do.
That's
and I
good.
Fully believe his will is going to be carried out, that we are going to grow. Our relationship will grow. Our trust will grow. Our faith will grow
yeah.
because we are learning about him. We are learning to love him. We are hearing from him. And then we're going to go and do it.
Apply it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. That is so good. But anyway, we're so excited that you're on the journey with us. And Madison, thanks for being on the journey with me, being
yeah.
my accountability partner, and joining me today at my table.
Yeah.
Love you and love you, ladies.
Love you too.
May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.